Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, the government's special task force on pharmacare releases its final report today.
Almost 4 years after having promised to study a new system in the last election, we will finally get the answer as to what the Trudeau government is proposing for a national pharmacare system.
The Prime Minister and several premiers battle over bills C-48 and C-69.
I think it's absolutely irresponsible for Conservative premiers to be threatening our national unity if they don't get their way. The fundamental job of any Canadian Prime Minister is to hold this country together, to gather us together and move forward in the right way. And anyone who wants to be Prime Minister, like Andrew Scheer, needs to condemn those attacks on national unity.
And debate on the ratification process for the new North American Free Trade Deal begins with accusations the government is rushing the process.
It would be foolhardy. It would be toying with the lives and jobs of Canadians to reopen this negotiation, and we will not.
It's Wednesday, June the 12th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by Susan Delacourt, Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mark.
So we're expecting this morning to hear from Eric Hoskins about the task force on a pharmacare strategy, and of course, this is coming right before we start an election campaign. I'm sure it'll be part of the Liberals' election strategy this fall, that if they're reelected, this will be part of their plan. So what do you expect will be included in this?
Well, it's been a while since I checked in with the government on where they were at on this, but every signal we had from the, you know, the people around Trudeau or Bill Morneau in particular was, if people are thinking that this is going to be a huge Medicare-style national pharmacare program, I think that's probably the wrong bet. I think what this will be is an attempt to patch up where people are not covered for drugs. So somebody who is not on an employee plan, somebody who's who has to pay for drugs out of their own pocket, some plan to cover what the private sector does not. Bill Morneau, you'll remember, the finance minister hinted at this within days of the government announcing the Hoskins panel. I guess it's almost a year and a half ago. And he got a lot of blowback for that. But I think that's where we're headed. I think that the most telling indicator of this is where we're headed is we'll remember that Kathleen Wynne's government in its final days introduced a pharmacare, huge coverage of pharmacare for I forget what the age was now, all children.
Yeah, 25 and under, I think it was.
25 and yeah. Under, yes, I just didn't have the age there. And then the Ford government, when it came in, scaled it back to be a program that just paid for the drugs of children who were not covered by other plans. There wasn't a huge outcry for that, and I'm sure the Liberal government here in Ottawa was watching, they're watching carefully everything Ford is doing. But the fact that Ford could scale back that pharmacare program to something more modest probably told them, we can aim somewhere at, it's ambitious to pay the cost of Canadians who, you know, pharmacare costs, but we're not going to see the pharmacare program that Jagmeet Singh and the NDP have been calling for example.
All right, we'll see what happens later this morning. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister has gotten into a bit of a verbal battle with Conservative premiers in Canada. He's accusing them of playing games with national unity over Bill C-69. The premiers have been, they've written a letter to Justin Trudeau saying that he should accept the amendments in the Senate that have been made to Bill C-69. Of course, Bill C-48 is in the mix on this as well. How do you see this battle shaping up?
This is epic. I think this is very large. I think it tells us a lot about the state of polarization in Canada right now, too, that this one has become such a deeply polarized issue. I'm not sure the average Canadian knows what's in Bill C-69. I think what they are hearing, though, is the tale of environment versus the economy,
right.
And it's all despite 4 years of the Trudeau government saying that it could manage both at the same time. Bill C-69 has become the crucible in which all of this is being debated, and you see the premiers are lining up on the economy side, and the federal government is seen as lining up on the environment side, and there is not a middle ground here. I think this is going to play out in the election campaign. We saw last night, I believe it was, or this morning, Mia Rabson at Canadian Press seems to have heard from a government official that a whole bunch of the Senate's proposed amendments to Bill C-69 are not going to go through. They are not going to be accepted, and that's going to set the stage for an epic battle. Mm. I think I was surprised, not unpleasantly, to see Trudeau doing what a prime minister should do, which is warning that national unity is not something to be playing around with in politics. And but I do think that's where this is headed.
All right, let's talk about Andrew Scheer for a moment. The Conservative leader was the subject of some attack ads that ran during the Toronto Raptors game on Monday night, and has also taken some shots from the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, saying that Andrew Scheer still consults with Stephen Harper. But I know he also gave an interview to your newspaper, the Toronto Star, in which he said, "I am my own person." He's not a stalking horse for Doug Ford, Andrew Scheer says. So do you think this is the Achilles heel for the Conservative leader going into this election?
Clearly the fact that Scheer felt that he had to give an interview to Rob Benzie at Queen's Park, who watches Doug Ford, and is hearing, as we are here in Ottawa, that the connections between Ford and Scheer are not helping Scheer. I've heard this as well, that the focus group polling that Liberals are doing is showing up that people are identifying Scheer with Ford in a negative way, fearing that the kind of cuts that have come in Ontario is what they would see if Scheer was elected here. I have also talked to MPs. One Toronto MP told me last week that 7 out of 10 doors he was knocking at in Toronto, people were expressing concern. So I think the combination of the ads, the what people are hearing out there, Scheer has to do something to say he's his own person. But he does seem to be haunted by the idea that he is a blank slate on which it's either premiers such as Ford or Kenny are writing on him, or Stephen Harper. That quote was in L'Actualité, and I saw it when it first came out. You saw all these Liberal cabinet ministers sending out L'Actualité quote from a source there who said that Scheer consults Harper quite often on big decisions, and that's just ammunition for the Liberals.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the North American Free Trade Deal, which is up for debate now. There's still this discussion over whether or not there will have to be an extra sitting of the House of Commons this summer, despite the approaching election, to pass the deal. How do you see this playing out, given that I think, by and large, most Canadians want to see this deal ratified, and there isn't a lot of opposition on Parliament Hill to it? But, of course, in this climate, there is always going to be pushback on some element or another. So what should we watch for here?
I think we should watch for what's going on in the United States, because I think the timing of the bill is influenced a little bit by that. As long as it remains unpassed here in Canada, some pressure can be applied down in the United States to get it through too, because there is desire down there to get it through as well. It is leverage, or it does hang over that discussion that things are okay between Canada and the United States right now, but I think this is more of an international dispute at the moment, or international tension, than it is domestic. My bet is that they're going to leave it unpassed and maybe call back Parliament in the summer. I'm not 100% sure of that, but that's the signals we were getting 2 weeks ago, was that that finance was preparing people for that idea. And frankly, Canadians know the deal will pass because Liberals have a majority, Conservatives are in favor of it. So it's not an election wedge issue, but it is a wedge and leverage issue with Canada and the United States.
Yeah. And the government needs to be very strategic about this. We'll see what happens in the weeks ahead.
Being strategic with Donald Trump is not always easy, and Congress down there. But my expectation is that they'll go home for the summer without passing it yet, because they, you know, it's still a cross-border issue.
All right. Susan, great to have your comments on all these topics today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
That's Susan Delacourt, Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. Now let's take a look at what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the Globe and Mail, Sylvain Charlebois and Tony Walker ask, are Canadians willing to pay the price for less plastic? They write, industry, governments, and consumers want less plastic in the food industry, but at the core of the issue is cost. Charging more for an eco-friendly program in food retailing remains a non-starter for most Canadians. Our way of life and food safety expectations can only force the food industry to use more plastics if current practices are not altered. Our journey to a food world with less plastics won't be easy, but it will require consumers, not just the industry, to act. In the Toronto Star, Heather Malik argues, the tiny Canadian effort to cut back on plastics is worth doing. Malik writes, those who say the ban won't make much difference are missing the point. These changes will be small daily reminders of the previously blithe use of petroleum products we never needed in the first place. Critics say Canada is not much of a plastics polluter compared to poorer nations, which lack the infrastructure to cope with the plastic that makes life easier for the poor. But we share the air, the oceans, and the climate that results from international misuse. At Policy Options, Veldon Coburn argues the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls exposes how the media and politics breed indifference towards certain lives. Coburn writes, the Canadian genocide of Indigenous peoples has progressed because it has been constructed to thrive unnoticed, not as a great spectacle of mass killing, but rather as imperceptible parts working independently towards the same goal. The invisibility has been further entrenched by the design of Canadian policies and practices, which have specifically targeted the most marginal, exploitable, and disposable. Now, let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. As we mentioned, the Trudeau government's special task force on pharmacare will release its final report this morning. Here's CPAC's Martin Stringer with more.
Mark, Dr. Eric Hoskins is the former health minister in Ontario. He retired last year to take on the role of the head of the Trudeau government's special advisory task force on pharmacare. And after having released an interim report in March at the height of the SNC-Lavalin scandal, today at 11 a.m. at the National Press Theatre, he will release his task force's final report. In its interim report, the panel recommended a new national drug agency, a national formulary, or a list of prescription drugs that should be available to every Canadian, and recommended an IT system to track prescriptions nationally. But today, almost 4 years after having promised to study a new system in the last election, we will finally get the answer as to what the Trudeau government is proposing for a national pharmacare system. Finance Minister Bill Morneau is on the record as having suggested that the system will not be universal. It will somehow or to some extent be means tested, and it will not cover those with existing private coverage. So details will be made known as we head into this fall's federal election.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, the Prime Minister will attend the Liberal caucus meeting and question period. Later, he and Official Languages Minister Melanie Joly will meet with the Secretary General of the Organisation Internationale de la Francophonie. In Ottawa, Treasury Board President Joyce Murray will provide an update on the progress of the new HR and pay solution. Environment Minister Catherine McKenna will make an announcement in support of women's organizations in Ottawa. Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains will make an announcement in Ottawa. Justice Minister David Lametti will appear before the Senate Committee on Social Affairs, Science and Technology. Small Business Minister Mary Ng will be in Ottawa to celebrate the launch of Eastern Ontario's Women Entrepreneurship Knowledge Hub. Minister of Families Jean-Yves Duclos will make an announcement in Montreal. Green Party leader Elizabeth May will take part in a panel discussion in Ottawa organized by the Canadian Association of Community Health Centres. And Governor General Julie Payette will inaugurate the Queen Elizabeth II Equestrian Monument in its new location in front of Rideau Hall's main gate in Ottawa. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Wednesday, June the 12th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.